Amen. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, please. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. So, good morning, Faith Baptist Church.
Good morning.
How is everyone? Good. Praise the Lord. It is so exciting about what God is doing over in Zambia through this church. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your support. Not every church would have the attitude or the heart to send their pastor, to send staff members and faithful men away for 3 weeks. So I appreciate your vision for the world. I appreciate your faithfulness to the Great Commission. And just thank you for being the awesome church that you guys are. It is a pleasure to get to be with you this morning. I said chapter 4, I meant chapter 5. So 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. And we will start with verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray, may we? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the cross, your love, your sacrifice, your grace and mercy. Help us not to forget. Help us not to take for granted. And Father, please keep our hearts on fire. Father, help us, Lord, to stay close to you. Lord, not to become apathetic, not to drift away, but Father, to be constrained by the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One of the hardest things in Christianity, at least for me and the church in Lompoc, is to stay motivated. Have you ever lost your motivation? As a teenager, I wanted to learn the guitar, right? Playing the guitar is cool. Ladies like guys that play the guitar. So I wanted to learn how to play the guitar. But as I got going, as I went to lessons, as I got distracted by sports and video games, that motivation to play the guitar faded away. Sometimes in the Christian life, we can lose that motivation. This past week, I was talking with one of the young men in our church. He's 19 years old. He's getting ready to graduate high school, and he has no motivation. He has been missing church. He has been missing school. He's a young man. I love him. But there's no motivation. Hey, how come you haven't seen me in church for a while? What's going on? I don't know. I just really don't get anything out of it. Just really don't see the point in coming a whole lot. I don't know. And you're so close to graduating, a couple months. You've been missing so many days of school. Why are you missing school? I don't know. Do you want to graduate? Yeah. Then what are you doing? Ask me the question. I said, where does God, what part does God have in your life? I don't know. Just no motivation. And beloved, we've all lost motivation. Motivation to get out of debt, motivation to lose weight. We start off with New Year's resolutions and on fire. I want to read my Bible through. I want to become a prayer warrior. I want to tell more people about Jesus. But by the time April rolls around, that motivation is kind of gone. Why do we do what we do? Why do we come to church? You can talk. It's okay. Why do we come to church? The Lord, right? The Lord. Listen, sometimes we can get our eyes off of Him. Right. All of us have had a bad church experience. You've been in church any length of time, and this is a great church. I'm not saying you've had a bad church experience here. Never happens at Faith Baptist Church, no doubt about it. But at our church in Lompoc, sometimes bad church experiences happen. Sometimes people aren't always Jesus-like. But we do what we do for the Lord. And sometimes we can lose sight of that. Let's look at Scripture. Verse 14. For the love of Christ, what? Constraineth us. This is the Apostle Paul. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 14, Paul said, we thus judge. What Paul is saying is, I have made a judgment. I have made a decision. And that decision was simple. That if Jesus died for me, then I am going to live for him. Beloved, that's the Christian life. Jesus died for me, and I'm going to live for him. We thus judge. It doesn't matter what the people do around me. It doesn't matter the politics of the day. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I have made a decision. Jesus died for me. I'm going to live for him. We thus judge. And beloved, that is a simple decision that I hope everybody in this church has made. But it is a decision that must be lived out every day of our life. Because it is easy to get distracted, and it is easy to get hurt, and it is easy to lose the motivation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ constraineth me. There in 2 Corinthians, please turn over to chapter 11. As we think about the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul did not have an easy life. The Apostle Paul did not have an easy ministry. But what was it that constrained him? That word constrained means to be held in place. When you're constrained, right, you're held, you're locked in. What was it that kept him going? What was it that kept him on that path? What was it? The love of Christ. The love of Christ. We read some of his testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And please notice verse 24. Paul said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul was beaten. Paul was in prison. Paul had a lot of perils. Yeah. Paul was under death threats. Paul suffered shipwreck. Paul went through a lot. What was it that kept him going? He would show up in a town and preach the gospel, and they would beat him and throw him in prison, and the next day kick him out of town, and would go to the next town and do it all over again. What was it that kept Paul going? He was constrained by the love of Christ. Constrained by the love of Christ. People got saved, but not everybody. Some people loved him, some people hated him. What was it? It was the love of Christ that kept him going. And beloved, that must be the motivation that each and every one of us finds. We are constrained by the love of Christ. We do what we do for Jesus. Listen, in ministry, and praise the Lord, the privilege to pastor, or sometimes we have great days in churches, and the seats are full, and the people are with it, and people walk the aisle to the altar and get saved, and whoa, people you've invited show up. But not every Sunday is like that. Some Sundays it seems like, boy, just people don't want to sing, and they're just the church curmudgeons. And the people that you've been inviting and praying to come, they don't show up. Yeah. And the crowd is just dead. And more, I mean, it's just like, oh. But you know what? Jesus is still sweet. And Jesus is still worthy. And Jesus is still great. Listen, you walk on one door, and boy, and people get saved. Woo, it's exciting. And then the next opening opportunity, man, nobody is home and nobody wants to talk to you. Those ring doorbells. But what is it that keeps us going? Jesus. And I understand you say, that sounds so simple, but that is the Christian life. The Christian life is Christ. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Jesus must stay our motivation. People change. Circumstances change. You know who doesn't change? Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the constant. He is the Christian life, and he must be our motivation. Hey, why go to Zambia? Jesus. Why go to Taft? Jesus. Jesus. Why come to church? Jesus. Why get up and pray and read our Bibles? Jesus. Why witness to our family and coworkers? Jesus. He died for me. I'm going to live for him. He loves me. I'm going to love him back. The Bible puts it this way. We love him because he first loved us. Back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge, we've decided. that if one, what's the next word? Died. All right, church, English class. Is the word died past, present, or future? Past, right? It has already happened. It is fixed. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died, looking back, past tense, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died again in the past for them and rose again. Jesus died for us. It is done. It is finished. You say, why is that so important? Because God has already proven his love for us. It is done. It is finished. It has already happened. You say, well, I don't feel like God loves me. No, he's already done it. He's already proven it. No greater love hath a man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has already shown us no greater love. And it doesn't matter how I feel today. And it doesn't matter if I've had a good day or a bad day. It doesn't matter if people were nice to me or not nice to me. God loves me. He's already shown it. He's already proven it. It's already done. The love of God is not in question ever. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has already shown us his love. God has already proven us his love. It is a fact. Paul did not show up and preach the gospel, get beaten and thrown in prison, and say, boy, God must not love me. No. His motivation had already been proven. His motivation had already been shown. He knew God loved him because of the cross. But so many times we can lose that motivation. Why? Because we look at today. We put God's love in such arbitrary terms. How we feel, what our mood is, what our circumstances of today are. Oh, God must be mad at me. God must not love me. God must not care. Beloved, he's already proven that. That's already done. Paul didn't get beaten and say, boy, God must not love me today. Paul knew God loved him because he looked at the cross. Beloved, when you have a bad day, when you begin to wonder, does Jesus care? When you begin to wonder, is God with me? Does he know what I'm going through? Remember the cross. Hallelujah. Yes, God loved you. He still loves you. Jesus died for you. Paul said, I've made a decision. I'm constrained by the love of Christ, and it's not based upon my feeling. It's not based upon my circumstances. It's based upon the fact that he died for me. I've never gotten over the fact that Jesus died for me. I've never gotten over John 3:16. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. He's our only hope. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. There, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please look back at verse number 8. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Who's that him? The Lord, right? We labor. We do what we do for him. It doesn't matter if anybody else sees it or not. It doesn't matter if Pastor points us out from the pulpit or not. Doesn't matter if we get a thank you card or not. Doesn't matter if we get the applause of men or not. We do what we do for Him. And that is where we must live the Christian life. Jesus died for me. I'm going to live for Him. The people stand with me. Woo, let's do it. If I have to stand alone, doesn't matter. If I'm the only person in my family who's saved, I'm still going to live for Him. If I'm the only Christian at my workplace, I'm still going to live for Him. Because we do what we do for Him. Turn with me, if you would, please, over to Romans chapter number 12. You say, really, Pastor, had you come from Lompoc to tell us this? Isn't this pretty basic? It is. But it is so easy to forget. It is so easy to come to church on Sunday morning and somebody is in your parking space. What are they doing parking in my parking space? I got to walk a little further. Walk inside and there's a visitor in your Baptist seat. What are they doing sitting in my seat? Don't I always sit there? Well, I don't know who made the coffee today, but boy, it was horrible. What in the world? Where's Jesus and all that? Aren't we supposed to be Christians? Aren't we supposed to live for Him? Aren't we supposed to come to church for Him? Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that. We get so caught up in the circumstances of the day. We get so caught up in sin in ourselves. And we lose the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did David say? Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sin had taken his heart away from God, and he ended up miserable. Beloved, don't lose the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we do what we do because it's expected of us. Listen, I have four wonderful children. You know what I want as a father? I want my God to be their God. I want them to live for Jesus, whether they're under my roof or at college or in Zambia or wherever God takes them. I want them to live for Him. I want Him to be their motivation. I want them to be constrained by the love of Christ, whether dad's watching over them or not. Jesus is our motivation. The old song, Come Thou Fount, well, the verse says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. All of us have that sinful flesh. It is so easy to just stop caring. It is so easy to just kind of drift away from God and drift into sin until we end up like David, where we have no joy and we have no peace. We have no desire to come to church. We do it because it's expected of us. We do it because the pastor is going to come visit us if we don't. We do it not for Jesus, but for all the wrong reasons. He died for me. God became a man. And they spit on Him. And they hit Him. And they put a crown of thorns and mocked Him. And they nailed Him to the cross, and He hung in shame and agony for me. For God so loved the world, but God commendeth His love toward us for me. Sometimes I forget that because I've had a bad day, because people didn't treat me like I think they should treat me. And I lose that motivation. I lose that constraint because I forget the love of Christ. Romans chapter 12, we know these verses. Verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, speaking to Christians, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is it reasonable that we should live for God? Is it reasonable Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Listen, don't take on the shape of this world. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. Be something different. But be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want my mind to be renewed. And though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, the Bible says. Listen, Jesus died for me, and I want to live for him. Remember when you got saved, and the cross captured you, and the love of God captured you, and you could not believe that Jesus would die for you, and love you, and forgive you for everything you've ever done? Remember how excited and how sweet that was. Boy, now sometimes here we are years later, decades later, and we've lost that excitement and we've lost that fire and we've lost that sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. We need to be renewed day by day. Paul said, I die daily. Listen, every day I need to get up and make this decision. Jesus, you died for me. I'm going to live for you. Jesus, I don't know what today holds. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I don't know how it's going to end up. But you died for me. I'm going to live for you today. Right, and just live constrained by the love of Christ. Just live with that simple decision, that simple judgment. Jesus, you died for me. I'm going to live for you. Listen, all of us in here know people who have stopped, who have quit. Where they used to be serving in church with us, they used to be excited, and now they're nowhere to be found. They stopped being constrained by the love of Christ. Beloved, it has happened to better Christians than I. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just trying to say it's so simple, but it's so important. Back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. Well, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, who is a new creature. Aren't you glad that God has made you anew? Aren't you glad that you've been born again? Old things are passed away. Not who I used to be. All things have become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God calls us ambassadors. You sent your pastor, Brother Hunter, wonderful men, to Zambia to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, to represent him. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who goes to a foreign nation and represents the interest of the United States. We are God's ambassadors. We are his representatives. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we are God's ambassadors to to planet Earth. You are God's ambassador to your family, to your coworkers, to your neighborhood, to Bakersfield, and beyond. We are his representatives. Sometimes we don't like that. Sometimes we don't want to tell people about Jesus. Sometimes we don't want to go to Zambia for 3 weeks. Why do we do it? Jesus. Jesus. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. You think about that. Jesus Christ is the sinless Lamb of God. No spot, no blemish, no sin. Never a sinful thought, never a sinful word, never a sinful action. He is perfect. But he became sin. Why? For me. And every lie that I ever told, and every moment of pride that I ever had, and every wicked thought, all the sin that I've ever committed was put on him. He became sin for me. He took my wrong, he took my mistakes, he took my ugliness. He became sin for me. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took my sin. And what did he give me? Righteousness. Righteousness. Beloved, is it still sweet to you? Is it still real to you? We hear about Zambia and people for the first time, people that have been steeped in a works-based salvation, people who have tried to be good enough are hearing for the first time that Jesus paid it all. Are hearing that truth that we have known for years. And they are showing up every day to study the Word of God for over an hour. They're excited. They're motivated. Have we lost that? Are we still constrained by the love of Christ? Does the cross still move us? Is Jesus still worthy? Oh, beloved, I have lost my motivation many times. Lost my motivation to play the guitar. About a year ago or so, me and my son said, well, it'd be a great thing to do with my son. Hey, Caleb, let's learn to play the guitar together. That lasted for a little bit. Lost the motivation. My wife and I had some house problems, home ownership. Had to gut our downstairs bathroom. Hey, we've watched the DIY network, right? Let's do it ourselves. Oh, we're going to do it. We're going to spend time together. It's going to be great. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to get closer through it. That's like a year ago. Lost the motivation. You say, isn't being down to one bathroom, a family of six, enough motivation? You would think. More seriously, sometimes I've lost the motivation for the Christian life. And it's never because God's not good, and it's never because God's not sweet. It's because of me and my own sinful, broken self. gets focused on the wrong things and just kind of drifts away from God. Let circumstances or people steal my joy. Let people or circumstances steal my peace. Let people and circumstances just sort of come between me and God. Sin. Beloved, simple message today and a simple question. Are you still constrained by the love of Christ? Do you still do what you do because of Him? And if not, then let's get that back today. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace.